On Sunday, Pope Benedict XVI is set to make a pastoral visit to the Evangelical Lutheran community here in Rome to pray and meet together with members of the largely German-speaking community there. At a Liturgy of the Word on Sunday afternoon, the Pope will be recalling another visit to the Church over a quarter of a century ago, when his predecessor, John Paul II, also crossed Rome's city centre, the first pontiff to set foot inside a Lutheran church since the days of the Reformation. Since then, of course, much progress has been made in the official Lutheran-Roman Catholic dialogue, and Rome's Lutheran community now works closely with local Catholic churches and communities.
They are engaged in very many ecumenical relationships, not only with the Catholic Church, also with Orthodox churches, with the Anglican Church, and many others.
Monsignor Matthias Turk follows the dialogue with the Lutheran world for the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. I talked to him about the significance of this visit in the broader ecumenical context.
The Evangelical Lutheran parish here in Rome is a very active part of the local church, we can say, of those many Christians who live for a long time in this eternal city. So this visit strengthens and underlines the very good relationships we have on the level of the city of Rome with the Lutheran Church. These relationships normally take place on the level of the diocese, of course. The Diocese of Rome has a very engaged ecumenical program, but this time the Holy Father himself wanted to pay a visit in remembering the first visit of a pope more than 25 years ago by his beloved predecessor John Paul II in 1983.
That visit was a particularly historic occasion, wasn't it?
It was very significant, because it went along with those other journeys of Pope John Paul II to, as we can say, predominantly Lutheran or Protestant countries, like his first visit to Germany and also his visit to the Scandinavian countries, which are predominantly Lutheran, and also to the United States. So this was an initiative on the level of his see, the city of Rome.
It was also the first time, though, that a pope had ever set foot in a Lutheran church since the Reformation, wasn't it?
As far as I can say here, I'm not the church historian par excellence, but I would say yes. And it showed a new brotherhood rediscovered between Catholics and Lutherans that also had an eminent element on the liturgical level, on the level of worship, more than just being together in commissions and debates.
So how would you describe perhaps the impact of that visit over these past 25 years?
It was a starting point, and it helped very much to foster the relationships between Catholics and Lutherans on the worldwide level. Many others took the example from here and had common worship, common liturgies, until the present day, where we have a manifold ecumenical life throughout the year. But also the theological level has been strengthened, and we were able to produce a good number of dialogue documents that show how far our consensus has come, although there are still remaining differences that are also church-dividing.
The most significant of those documents, of course, was the 1999 document, a Common Declaration on Justification. And, of course, the then Cardinal Ratzinger played a crucial role in that, didn't he?
At that time, he was prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, and in such a position, very much responsible for these questions of faith, which ecumenical questions always are. So with his help, we were able to finalize this document, even with this so-called official common statement and an annex, both texts that could clarify more the content and the meaning of the text of the Joint Declaration of Justification.
How much did Joseph Ratzinger's own background, his German culture, language, the shared background, how much did that, do you think, influence the success of that document?
It's one way to be able to study documents of Lutheran theology, and it's another way, another element, to live in such a country and have a personal experience from your lifetime how the relationship to Lutheran Church or the Lutherans are. So with this special background, he was very well prepared for these negotiations and had the best possibilities to engage himself very intensely. And regarding Germany as the country of the Reformation, it's a unique situation in the world, because in Germany you would have 50% of the Christians being Protestant and 50% Catholic, with a relationship to numbers that don't exist in such a special way in any other country of this world. So we are a born situation, so to speak, for an engaged and intense dialogue between the confessions.
Cardinal Ratzinger himself was also a frequent visitor, I understand, to the Lutheran Church here in Rome before he was elected to the See of Peter.
I remember very well his visit to the Lutheran Church, where he met at that time the president of the Evangelical Church in Germany, Bishop Huber, for a discussion, for a plenary discussion in the building of the church. And at that time, it was 1 year before the signing of the Joint Declaration, especially that question of justification was in the center of attention. And there were a good number of obstacles at that time to have been to overcome still. And Cardinal Ratzinger was very much engaged at that time, helping there. And with Huber in that evening, which was very informative for everybody, but also helpful for to continue the process that finally led to the signature of the Joint Declaration. So it was a meaningful step towards that document that took place here in the Roman Lutheran parish.
Cardinal Ratzinger also has a particular passion for the music, doesn't he, I believe, from the Lutheran tradition?
Oh, I'm sure also in his coming visit now he will very much enjoy the beautiful organ music the Lutheran Church has, a very good organist there. And also we have to confess that our musical tradition, the rich tradition of hymns in liturgy, mostly come from a Lutheran tradition, because in the Catholic tradition that was not so common for every member of the parish to join in such hymns like we have today.
Can we hope for any kind of breakthrough, perhaps any kind of historical significance then for this visit?
Everybody is always hoping for breakthroughs, so do we, but our daily work consists in moving on step by step. And if you don't want to fall down or come to the slippery ground, you better prepare your next step very precisely. And you do that together with your ecumenical partner, so you feel that you go together in a joint direction, and that direction needs to be full visible unity and nothing less.
Monsignor Matthias Turchi is an official of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity. Rome's Lutheran community numbers around 350 faithful, the majority of whom are living in mixed marriage families with Catholic partners or children. A very practical ecumenical challenge that their pastor, Reverend Jens Martin Kruse, deals with on a daily basis.
I'm here since August 2008.
He'll be on hand on Sunday to welcome Pope Benedict and to show him something of the vibrant parish life that has developed over the two centuries since Lutherans first began to worship here in the Eternal City.
Yes, we have a lot of groups, from the children to the adults. We work with the poor people. We have a lot of concerts. We make journeys for the members of our parish. I think it's very busy, our parish life.
It's also just one of, I believe, 14 different Lutheran communities throughout Italy.
Yes, we are very small in Italy. 14 small parishes, communities. We are, I think, in Italy, not more than 5,000 or 6,000 members of this church.
The representatives from other Lutheran churches around Italy will also be attending this important meeting, won't they, I believe, on Sunday with Pope Benedict?
I hope so. For us, it's important that a worship of our community, of our parish. So there will come the president of the Kirchenamt of the Evangelical Church of Germany, but no bishop.
So what is the significance then? How important is this visit for you?
For us, it's a great pleasure that we can celebrate our worship together with the Pope. And I think that's the most important thing that we Christians can do, to celebrate worships together.
The Lutheran Church here already had a visit by Pope John Paul II, didn't it, back in 1983. And I believe that was the first time a Pope had ever been to a Lutheran church. Will this be perhaps remembered during this current visit?
It's right that it was the first visit of a Pope at the Lutheran Church. And I think we will remind of this, because our invitation to the Pope Benedict we have made in memory of 25 years ago of this visit of the Pope John Paul.
How significant was that, do you think, in the history of the ecumenical journey?
I think it was a great symbol. It was also a worship of the parish, of the community. But it has a significance for all the Christians, that the Lutherans and the Catholics and the other could celebrate worships together.
Since, of course, a decade ago, 1999, with the joint declaration on justification, that journey has been a little bit closer, if you like. The church, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran communities have been journeying a bit closer together. Mm-hmm. How important is this ecumenical work for your community today?
It's very important. It's a basic, the fundamental thing. Because this point of the justification was the point where we go in different ways. And now we have this, for our faith, very important topic. There are not great differences. And I hope that we'll have more importance for our churches. It's only 10 years old, and there's more hope and more... there are more possibilities with this joint declaration.
Many of your parishioners here will be in situations of mixed marriages with Catholics. I imagine this presents a number of challenges as well, doesn't it?
That's right. From the couples, we have this the problems of the ecumenical life in our parish every day. And that's the beginning for our ecumenical work. For them, it's often a great problem to decide where we go to the worship on Sunday, where we do the baptism of the child, the marriages. And so it's a part of my work to speak with these couples, to find solutions with Catholics, colleagues. For them, it's a great problem. And at Rome, not every Catholic colleague has an experience on this field, so we have to explain the problems. For my work as a referent of this church, it's one of the main topics in the ecumenical discourse at Rome.
What about the work that you do beyond that with the other pastors, the other leaders of the churches here in Rome? How much is that an important part of your work?
It's a great part, this ecumenical work. For example, we have very good relationships with all the churches around our church. We are a member of this convent Churches Together at Rome, and we have a lot of relationships to other Catholic churches, to parishes, to the movements, Sant'Egidio Focolarini, and also to the Vatican. And often it's one of the topics, Alice, the question how we can handle this problem with the mixed couples.
Does it make any difference to you having a German pope now, the ability to share the same language, perhaps the same culture?
It's an interesting question. I think it makes no difference. Perhaps it's a little bit easier that we can speak the same language, that we have the same tradition, we know each other very well, and I hope that also for the pope it's a good visit, a good day with us. Because also for him, there are not many possibilities to celebrate a worship in German. And so we're looking forward with a great pleasure to this day. And I hope that the Pope feel it. Let's hear a warm welcome for him.
Thanks there to Reverend Jens Martin Kruse, pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Parish here in Rome.